Chapter 3. If you had been flying from Chicago to New York, the nighttime view from your window seat would find the darkness occasionally interrupted by the shimmer of hamlets and towns below, not to mention the streaks of headlights on highways. But judging by the view from Riga en route to Moscow, we might have been gliding over the dark side of the moon. Then across the eastern sky came a glow as if of an enormous forest fire. Soon the silhouettes of the spires and skyscrapers of the fifth largest city on the planet made themselves known. Though the sense of Moscow was breadth, not height, its presence seeming to consume the horizon. Riga, which had risen from the mist like a ghost of its former unconquered Latvian self, had been our first stop in the Soviet Union. We were a party of two, flying via SAS, the Scandinavian airline. "It's either that or fly Finnish," Senator Jasper had explained. "The Soviet Union won't let any airlines from NATO countries in." When we landed in Riga, three papier-mâché fighter planes were parked at the end of the runway to fool aerial photographers. Not a bad effort, but inside the minuscule airport in a cold, colorless waiting room, an MVD man in a green uniform took only a cursory look at our passports while our bag stayed on the plane. Think of the dope or firearms you could smuggle in. And here I'd left my .45 behind. Then the senator and I filled out a slip of paper itemizing our foreign currency. Supposedly, we'd have little need for cash, since we were traveling via InTourist, the official Soviet agency.